Today is actually going to be a little bit different than perhaps normal. It's a little more just a reflection on some things happening, some things to pray for, and we're going to share a little bit of testimony as well, and a few other things. And my initial plan for this week actually went a little bit sideways. I'm speaking at Summit Pacific, our church's Bible college, the network of churches we're a part of, tomorrow on Monday, so you can pray for me as well as pray for all the staff who will be in Abbotsford the rest of the week after that for our conference of our 200-plus churches in BC, all getting together, leaders there. But I originally thought I'd do, you know, a similar message for today and tomorrow because I only got so much time in the week. But then the Lord was kind of laying on my heart some things for the students there that I didn't feel like really applied to us here, and I didn't want to force a message. So next week, we will get back to 1 Corinthians and chapter 13. But I also have a lot of things on my heart for the church and to pray for. And so this morning, I'm going to talk about five things to regularly pray for, and we're actually going to go through them and do them. Perhaps not surprising to most, I use a lot of alliteration when I pray, so I'll know about my affinity for alliteration. So this morning, I'm going to use that, but this just kind of helps me pray for these things. There are other outlines. We've put back the prayer resources on the back table there that kind of went away during renos, but there's some prayer resources there that can help you pray, kind of prayer starters just to get your prayers going, so feel free to check that out at the end of the service. But these five things of friends, family, future, finances, and faith, you know, they encompass so much of our lives, things we deal with daily and think about and therefore hopefully pray for. And so this morning I'm going to go through these five things that I often pray for, but do it in relation to and reflection on where we're at as a church and some things that have been happening, as well as prayer requests and also praise reports that have come in recently. So we're going to do some prayer along with this. And there's no particular order here, and there's overlap and interrelation between them, and you can go in any order, but I'm going to use it as a bit of an outline. So here we go, starting with family. And here I'm going to make it about our church family, but then we can also pray for our own families, but even family things going on within our church family. And so two requests here that we have. Here's one from a person in our congregation that's asking for a family member who's also a parent of one of our people who attends here, who has late-stage Parkinson's and also was just recently diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And they're praying, they're giving just days to go or weeks, and so they're praying for the family that he will leave behind and asking for prayer for that family and just asking that they would be able to lean on faith and that God would bless their family as they go through this time. So can we pray for them together? Lord, we pray for this family, Lord. God, we pray for this man with Parkinson's and pancreatic cancer, Lord. God, come alongside him by your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray for the extended family whom many of us know here, that you would wrap your loving arms around them. Lord, that the timing would be just right. I know he's only been given days. I don't even know if perhaps he's still with us. But Lord, that your timing would be just right, that the family would have the chance to be with him in those days and hours. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, we plead with your love to pour out on them. As we continue to pray, another request here from a church family member is this person is just looking for a stable place to stay. And you know what? This is one of the most common prayer requests we get. I need a place to live. I need a place to stay. So church, would you intercede with me? God, we know you care about the housing crisis that we face, Lord. God, you know, we know you care about the injustice of affordability. Lord, that so many cannot find a roof over their heads. So many are forced to be moving into situations that they're not even comfortable with because it's the only place they can find to live. We pray for our sister here who is asking for prayer, asking for a stable place to live, Lord. God, a place where she cannot be in fear or in danger. Lord, a place where she can flourish health-wise, mental health, spiritual health, Lord, because we know that that can be an issue when we're forced into difficult situations with our housing. And so, Lord, we pray for her and all like her. God, help us as a church, Lord. God, we know we're doing some things, Lord, but what else can we do? How can we individually, how can we corporately help be a blessing to our community, Lord, even if it means just being able to help out 4 or 5 families to be in a good situation, Lord, we pray. Move on our hearts, Lord. God, you might call us to take some really big risks to meet this need, Lord, or it could be as small as just building some friendship, but help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks for praying for those things and encourage you to pray for your own families as well as we go throughout the service. But the second thing is we can pray for our future. And so I always pray for the Lord's leadership for my future, both short-term and long-term, and bringing it before the Lord. But I want to direct this specifically for our church this morning. And, you know, we are in such exciting times as a church. Where things we prayed for regarding our future as a church for years and years are actually happening. It's amazing when you look at the faith-filled, quite bold and audacious faith goals we set out from the years 2021 to 2025, 5 or so years ago, that we felt were from the Lord, and how so many of those things have actually happened and taken place. Because it's easy to write them down on paper, but then to apply faith and to move forward. So things like launching 2 services, life groups throughout the entire area, a new outreach to serve our community, which came through Good Food, a music pastor full-time, a full-time administrative person, a sanctuary renovation, much more. Things that just sounded impossible when we wrote them down and just kind of coming out of COVID and we're just around like 100 people. But when you pray and dream big, and we should, because God's heart is just really big, then the Lord responds when we apply faith. You know, I think of our kids and our youth programs, right? Last week, we had more kids in just our 11 a.m. service, 46 kids, more kids in just the 11 a.m. service than we used to have everyone on a Sunday morning. Just 8, 9 years ago. And this is just a pattern of how God works, and it's such a huge part of our church story, which is when you make room for more people, both physically in your space, spiritually in your hearts and hospitality, financially with our giving, then God sends more people. When we hired kids and youth pastors, we actually only had a very small handful of kids. It was mostly pastor kids, but then a few others as well. But we went ahead and hired full-time family pastors anyway, because we know that the harvest is so plentiful. And when you show God you're serious about the harvest, about reaching people, and you actually apply resources, because your heart is only where your treasure is, and you actually put effort to it and pray hard, things happen. For example, just last month, we ran our first ever Sunday morning, or second ever, Sunday morning preteen class, because we were starting to have preteens here on Sunday mornings, and we wanted to have an outlet where they could also be ministered to in a specific way for their discipleship. And, you know, we can only do once a month right now, because we just don't have enough preteen teachers, but if God's laying that on your heart, talk to our family pastors. But by last week, just our second time doing preteens, we had 16 preteens in the 11 a.m. service. And we're starting to talk about getting a modular building or something like that outside, because we actually had to end up splitting them into 2 groups because we didn't have enough room. So one was in the library and one was in our office there meeting. And it was crazy. But it's no coincidence God would send an unusual amount of preteens on a Sunday where we had a preteen program, because God loves preteens. God loves kids. And when you make room and you show God you're serious, the Lord in his big heart begins to send them. And God loves people. And we, as our vision statement says, we want to love as God loves. And that means reflecting God's big, hospitable heart that always makes room for more. I mean, Jesus frequently, right, when he taught, he went up on a hillside so that he could make room for more people to be ministered to. When they would gather on the beach and he was there, what would Jesus do? He would step out into a boat on the water so that enough people could continue to gather and be ministered to and healed. In Matthew 14 and 15, the feeding of the 5,000 and 4,000, when large crowds gathered in a rural area and it was getting late and people were hungry, and what did the disciples do? They suggested in Matthew 14, verse 15, they said, "Send the crowds away." See, they saw the scarcity of resources, and they said, "Whoa, Jesus, we need to rein it in." But it says Jesus had compassion on them. And he said, quote, "Do not send them away." And instead made room by miraculously providing food for them. See, God loves to make space for more, especially when it comes to the hurting, the hungry, those looking for hope and answers. And just in here, it's no coincidence that as we've made room for more people, the Lord has sent them. We had almost twice as many people this October so far compared to just 2 years ago. And that's no surprise because you stepped out in faith as a congregation. You know, for example, you sponsored and paid for the 250 chairs that we put in here. And you responded in generosity. You know what I love? What happened is a lot of people wrote, you know, I'm buying the chairs for my family, whether it's a family of two or family of three, $75 each. And they said, and one more for a new person in faith. A lot of people did that. One person bought 100 chairs because they just believe in what God is doing. And in fact, we then added already 58 more since that 250. And so if you miss that opportunity, and now they're all out, there's exactly 300 chairs in here and then 8 in the library. So if you miss that opportunity and you want to, in faith, sponsor these 58 chairs, they're 75 each, just as a way to be a part of it. We're not asking because we're saying, hey, we need this. I mean, we do. But you know, I'm just saying, hey, it's really for you, just if you want to be a part of it and say, yeah, I was a part of this. But it's no coincidence. So I believe it was the Lord's timing and guidance to do what we did this year in expanding our sanctuary. When you make room, God will send people. The harvest is plentiful, and when God sees even the smallest of openings, just a small opening, and a church that is willing to receive hurting people, searching people, God will respond. So let's just pause and now pray for our church. Let's pray for space for our kids and our preteens. I'm being honest, we don't really know what to do. We're not sure. We're running out of room for kids and preteens, so we need direction. But of course, we have to be invested in this future and what's happening. So let's pray for our church and our future, Lord. God, we want to place it in your hands. God, we have such a graced history where we can reflect back and we can say, God was faithful then. And all those small steps, whether it be from when we went from one kid's class to two kids' classes 5-6 years ago, or whether it be when we added space for an additional staff member or preteens and all the things, Lord, we have this grace history to lean on, so we lean on it. And Lord, we don't panic, we don't fret. Lord, we have full confidence that we will hear from you, that we will hear your voice, that we'll know which direction to take. And Lord, we want to submit to the leadership of your Holy Spirit. God, we don't want to do what feels and sounds right to Oceanside Community Church. We want to do what is in your heart. We want our focus to be on people. And Lord, especially people who are lost, who are hurting, who are in darkness, who need a light. Lord, we don't want to casually go through life and just hoping things happen. No, Lord, we want to throw ourselves into your kingdom and all it has. I believe you've placed each and every person here in the Mid-Island communities for a reason. You've called them to a mission in their neighborhoods, in their workplaces, and here at the church. So help us all to play our part in the body as we've learned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Define what that is, Lord. And God, we pray for provision for space. Pray for our preteens figuring out what to do on Sunday mornings with all the kids' classes and classrooms that we need. And we have this small, kind of humble building that we're grateful for. But Lord, we just need some guidance on what to do and how we can do it, Lord. And we know that you'll give us the creativity, the imagination that we need, as we've often seen. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the next one is finances. And, you know, what we've done this year in this church is going to have decades and generations of impact, and I love being a part of it. But of course, we've encountered a bunch of unexpected hurdles, most notably a new heat pump, and then having to redo our entire septic system, which, you know, we've talked about, but it was originally only built with a few people in mind, light traffic, not 80-plus people at Alpha on Friday, and then 40-plus people in the men's breakfast on Saturday, and then 300-plus people on Sunday morning. It was a catastrophic kind of situation that we were in, and then, of course, as you get into it, there's no turning back, and you have to do what needs to be done. And so that set us back about $100,000 in all, in addition to kind of the rentals, and that part was a bit unplanned. And so, you know, we're broke, and that's okay, because we'll just move forward in faith. We still have bills to pay. But I thank God for all those, as Marcello said earlier, who have given sacrificially to our Pave the Way campaign. If you're newish to the church and don't know what that's about, there's brochures in the back. It outlines all of the plans, all the things that some of which we've already done, as well as goals for these next couple years. So you can take that with you to pray over. But I'm praying for more, both substantial gifts of people who want to invest, as well as lots of small gifts that are just being a part of it, because it takes always both of those kinds of combinations. And I feel good about the stewardship of what we're doing. You know, a lot of churches, you know, spend $75,000 or so a year just on renting their space for their facility. And sometimes that's only Sunday morning. And that's great, and I'm glad there's churches doing that and meeting in creative spaces and those things. But it's kind of cool that, you know, we get to invest in something that has that lasts, that we can continue to use and to bless, and that can be open 24/7 to people. And so we're investing money in permanent space that is pretty much used every day and every night of the week, you know, whether it be Alpha or men's and women's groups or addiction recovery groups or our youth group or support groups. So we need to keep giving in that area of Pave the Way. But also this month, as you know, our focus is to make October about others. And this is kind of Thanksgiving this month. And you can read a nice blog post by Marcello on our website about this. But we're asking in this month that people would consider giving beyond your regular giving, what the Bible calls a tithe, which just means 10% back to God through the church. It's an amount that God says belongs to him. It's kind of holy and set aside. It's not for us to touch. But in addition to that, this month, that you would consider supporting our care fund, which supports things like our Arrington Breakfast Program, where we're feeding 20 to 30 kids every single morning in the school with our own volunteers there, and also our missions fund as we support people who are doing things around the world. So we want to make this month about others, and we have shortfalls in these areas, but we're not going to cut back because they're just too important. These are not the kind of things we're going to cut. And so let me just break it down per month, per kid, for our breakfast program, in case you're wondering. So our breakfast program, we did all the numbers this week so that we could kind of break it down for you. And so it costs about $33 a month per child. That's breakfast every day that they get. That would equal, for a full school year, $300 a year per kid. So, you know, you might just want to say, hey, I'll cover one child for a month at $33 every month above my normal giving. And that would help one breakfast every day for a child. Or you might say, you know, I'm going to cover a year for a child, and that would be $300 for the school year. And this is healthy breakfast 5 days a week for kids who don't get it at home, who are either getting no breakfast or not a healthy option that helps them through school and through learning. So maybe you want to consider that. But this aligns with the biblical vision of sharing your resources locally. There's lots of poverty in our area, especially here near the church in places like Arrington. And there's no doubt that the biblical ideal when it comes to socioeconomics is the sharing of resources, the redistribution of wealth. If you read the prophets, Jesus, the early church in Acts, and Paul's letters, you will come to this economic paradigm of the redistribution of wealth, of equality in access to goods and services. So Paul says in 2 Corinthians, the letter after the one we're currently studying, chapter 8, 13 through 15, he says, our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but there might be equality. He's talking about money and giving here. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality. As it is written, and he's alluding to the Exodus here, how the Lord provides, the one who gathered much did not have too much. The one who gathered little did not have too little. No one should have too much. No one should have too little. And so the Christian model is this joyful, voluntary giving of our wealth, sourced in, inspired by, and motivated by the grace of Jesus Christ. You know, where Christians, through their own resources, we're not talking about government programs here, should fight together toward closing any economic gaps that exist. First in the church, so we can say, hey, come be a part of a place where everyone gets taken care of. That is the ultimate vision. I know we fall short, but that is what we are moving, trying, striving towards, where everybody gets taken care of. And then out in society as well, any gap that exists between the haves and the have-nots. No one should have too much, no one should have too little, because as it's been said, there's enough in the world for everyone's need. There's just not enough for everyone's greed. Let me just share with you a few examples and financial testimonies. Someone recently designated the money from the sale of their car to our Arrington Elementary Breakfast Program. That's awesome. What a great idea. Another person, in response to the pastoral shortage crisis and the hurdle and cost of education that we talked about and all the vacancies that exist throughout our province, they want Oceanside to be a part of the solution. And so they've given $5,000 as a starter seed for a scholarship fund for any students from our church that want to go off to Bible college or seminary. They say, hey, we want to be a part of the solution in reaching that. And I thought that was awesome, just completely voluntary. This past Tuesday night, and this is just the cost of reaching people, including youth, but you know, a youth accidentally broke the glass on our front door of the church with their skateboard. And it's great, happened during ministry time. I gotta admit, I was a little discouraged when Thomas called me Tuesday night because, you know, we're already facing financial pressure and burden here at the church and just time that it takes to fix things. So I was a little discouraged. Came in the next day, the very next day, it was after the church had closed up, but I was still here, the doors were all locked, and somebody was pounding on the front door, knocking on the front door, and I opened the door, and they start pulling cash out of their wallet, and they said, you know, I felt like I just was supposed to stop by and drop this off. And I was like, oh, do you want a tax receipt? Do you want your name? No. I just felt like this was what I needed to do. And it was almost the exact amount of the cost to repair the door. And then, praise God, we were able to find somebody to come in right away and fix it. So you don't even know it's there. It's already been fixed. It's already been done. So thank God for that. But these are just a few recent examples of God's faithfulness in working on people's hearts. And we have honestly hundreds of stories in the church like this. So if the Lord moves on your heart to give above your normal gifts to one of these areas, pave the way, care fund, missions, maybe putting an amount on your heart that requires faith, just know that God is taking care of all of us in very unique ways. So let's pray for the church as well as your finances right now, believing God will speak to people as needed and supply the church's needs. Lord, again, we're just going to lean on testimony here that you are an amazing provider. Lord, that you love to wow us in our finances. You love to make us almost laugh and smile at the unique and creative ways you provide, Lord. I thank you that you do it in such a way that we lean on and depend on each other, that in some seasons, some can give and some can't, and in other seasons, others give and others can't, and yet we've always had what we need as a church, Lord. God, and I thank you for the literally thousands, probably tens of thousands of people who have been impacted by the generosity of this people. And Lord, we pray for more. because again, the harvest is plentiful. So Lord, provide for us financially. We pray we'd be able to pay off any bills we have by the end of the year. Lord, we pray not only that, we pray for a surplus, and then we might as well pray big, might as well pray that we just break even for the year, as impossible as that sounds. But Lord, you got a big heart. And Lord, nothing's impossible for you. You have all the resources in the world, so we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. And then faith. This is something that I've been praying for a lot lately, increase in faith, believing God for things. So let me just share a few testimonies that will increase our faith. This is from our prayer and worship night a few Wednesdays ago. During prayer and worship night, I asked for healing and had hands laid on me. I felt the warmth of God and the Holy Spirit fill me and heal the pain in my shoulders and back that have been impacting my sleep. The hand laid on me felt the exact points on my back that have been in pain. Praise God for this instant blessing and gift of healing. When you say it will be done, it is done. Amen. Thank you, Lord. This person says, when we sang Christ Be Magnified, I was praying in the Spirit, the language that was given. We'll talk about this in 1 Corinthians 14, but it says they received this language decades ago, but when we were praying, the familiar language I've had for years, it's a supernatural thing that God gives, perfectly blended with the melody. I've known for years that I was to magnify Jesus with this language, but tonight was just a gentle confirmation of that. So, church, God is at work in a mighty way here. The stories of people who are walking into this building for the first time, many just into a church for the first time, are astounding. I mean, you wouldn't believe them. People saying, I just felt like I needed to be here in church this morning. Or, I just don't know what to do and where to go, so I decided to come to church. Dozens and dozens of stories like that. Can I just say something? That's not normal. I obviously wish it was, but I've never in my life been a part of a church where so many people just randomly, supernaturally are drawn to be here. But it tells me that God is at work, and God is looking for a place where people can be sent to, where God is honored and glorified, and the presence of Jesus dwells. Just recently and many times before, I've seen this so many times, we've had people come in here for the very first time, and before the service even starts, they begin weeping. I want to be careful not to exaggerate, but I'm going to say pretty confidently that has happened over 100 times. And again, that's not normal. I'm not sure I've ever seen it even once until it started happening regularly here at the church. And we hear it all the time where people come here and say, I just never felt anything like this before. From the moment I walked in, I knew we were home. And I know those of us who've been around, we can get used to it. It can become too familiar, complacent about after being here, but God is doing something very unique and special here. And I take it very seriously, and I hope you do too, that our job is to be good stewards of it, to foster and care for what the Spirit of God is doing and who the Spirit of God is bringing here without getting in the way or messing it up or taking the focus off of what God is doing. So I just want to continue to apply faith, keep riding the wave of what God is doing. So let's pray for faith for more. Several people have asked for this on their prayer cards. This person's asking for, actually, specifically for faith to trust in him. They say, I'm struggling to tithe what I should, and I'm just nervous about having faith to do it and believing God. I know in my heart that God will provide, but it's so hard to do, and we understand that. This person's asking for prayer for a coworker who's had a serious car accident and is needing healing from injuries. They have to learn to walk again. They're only 19 years old. So, Lord, we apply faith right now. We pray for this person who needs healing in their body, Lord. God, we pray for miraculous healing that, as we hear many times, that there would be a testimony from doctors that says, we don't know how this happened. It doesn't make sense. We can't explain it medically, but you are fine. And you will walk again. And we pray that for this person, Lord. We pray for the person asking for faith in their giving and generosity. Lord, God, just be gentle with them as you always are, but also bring them in faith to the place that you want them to be in their giving. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, lastly and very briefly, friends. This is where I pray for lost people, both those I know And I also pray that God would put more lost people in my path, people who don't know Jesus. And I'm excited for November 3rd, our dedication and celebration service. It's a great reason to invite people. So we have little invite cards that you can take as a reminder to pray, but also that you could give out. They're on the back table there and some at the table in the lobby as well. And it's going to be celebratory. It's going to be fun. It's going to be encouraging. We're going to do some new things. And it's just a chance to celebrate all that's happening with our community and to share it with them. So we want to be praying for this regularly and praying for those you're invited. So let's pray for this outreach. This is our friends focus. And the band's going to come up and we're going to close in a song here. But let's pray for this. Go ahead and stand with me just to kind of engage your body in prayer. And Lord, we pray for those that are on your hearts. We know you've maybe already put people on our hearts. Maybe it's people we've been talking to for years. But Lord, we want to hear from your hearts. God, we pray that this would be a great light and outreach to our community, Lord. God, to not only leaders in our community, but Lord, those, again, who are hurting, who don't even know that they can come here and belong just as they are. And so we pray that this would be a place of belonging. We pray that that celebration would be honoring to you, Lord. And just supernaturally put the right people in our path that you're asking us to bring with us that morning, to celebrate, to share the work of God, Lord, that they would see that they can be a part of something bigger than their own lives and their own story, be a part of God's story. So Lord, help us as we prepare the way for the many you want to be here. In Jesus' name, amen.